necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And if you're out across America, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls till we ask for calls, because we have with us Dr. Mark Geyer, and we're going to be talking about autism. We're going to be talking about the mercury and vaccines, and, well, we're really going to be talking about the important things that Dr. Geyer would like to talk to us about. Dr. Geyer, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you, and, of course, your son is usually with us. Sometimes we get a much better communication. We get a, seem to get an awful hum when we have two people on the line. Under any circumstances, we know that you've continued working on this subject, and for our listener out there, it is estimated that 1 in 6 American children has either a neurodevelopmental or some sort of behavioral abnormality, learning disability, and the question is why, because it never used to be like that. And Dr. Geyer, what have you discovered with your analysis of, you know, of the vaccines and other causes, potential causes for this terrible human catastrophe?
I think that the current epidemic of autism, which began around 1990 and which peaked around 2002, was caused by an additive to our vaccines called Thimerosal, which is was added in an attempt to be a preservative. Actually, it turns out it isn't a preservative, and which unfortunately exceeded all EPA guidelines for safety of mercury and caused brain damage in a large number of American children, and has caused the epidemic, which now, fortunately, is beginning to subside, now that thimerosal is being removed from some of the childhood vaccines. Unfortunately, our authorities have continued to put it in the influenza vaccine, and they are pushing the influenza vaccine on our children.
And not only that, aren't they pushing it on pregnant women?
And they're pushing it on pregnant women. And we're giving pregnant women mercury in the from 1990 to 2001 in Rogam, but that was only to Rh-negative pregnant women. Now we're giving it, or at least trying to give it, to all pregnant women. And unfortunately, I think if they continue that policy, the autism epidemic, which has begun to fall, will begin to go back up again, and it needs to be stopped, and it needs to be stopped immediately.
Well, now, why are they doing this sort of thing? They're smart people at the Centers for Disease Control and in our government. Why are they using something that is potentially healthy, and why would they even use it until it had been proven safe?
Well, unfortunately, there's a long history of this, and they were caught basically with not doing their job, and as to quote their own memos, they were caught asleep at the switch. They have several memos that Congress has investigated that they were caught asleep at the switch. The monitoring of vaccines, unfortunately, has not been done by the best scientists in the United States. The CDC typically appoints a vaccine committee, which is made up of pediatricians who have relatively little biochemical knowledge and have been basically rubber-stamping vaccines. And incidentally, I want to say right up front, I'm pro-vaccine, but I'm pro-good vaccines, and I'm also pro-honesty in vaccines. And the bottom line of all of this is there's no real issue. That is, if you read their own internal documents, which I have done and Congress has done, The people at the National Immunization Program who were in charge of safety and vaccines darn well know what they did. They've said it multiple times, and they refuse to admit it because it would be very bad for their careers and maybe bad for some other scientists who let this happen.
And, Chris, how about bad for the vaccine manufacturing companies that have put the thimerosal in there and damaged our children, and for Eli Lilly that manufactures the thimerosal?
Very bad for all of them, and in fact...
Well, hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Mark Geyer. He's a scientist, and of course he's has a practice. He's into all sorts of genetic research and things. It is sort of, what is it? Do you do genetic research or genetic counseling?
Well, my private practice is genetic counseling and amniocentesis and high-risk pregnancy, as well as counseling people on risk of cancer using DNA testing. But I've been a basic researcher in genetics all the way back to the early 70s and even late 60s when I worked at the National Institutes of Health.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we're talking to Dr. Kier today about the danger that so many of our children have been subjected to, the very real danger of the use of thimerosal in childhood vaccines. And actually, the autism epidemic was beginning to slacken off, you know, because legislation was passed in California to take the mercury out of the childhood vaccines. However, not to be undone, the people in government, of course, and now are saying, well, you know, we want to put it in the, you know, in the influenza vaccine, and then we want to give the influenza vaccine to pregnant women. And, of course, that concentrates it in the mind and the brain of the developing child, and that's even more dangerous than giving it to a newborn, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also being given at any time during pregnancy. So in some cases it's given very early in the first trimester where it might even be much more dangerous. And, you know, we had discovered, when we discovered this problem, we had predicted that as thimerosal was removed from the vaccines, the rate of new cases of autism would decline. We predicted that in about 2002, and they started withdrawing the vaccines, and we published a paper this year, two papers actually this year, one in Medical Science Monitor and the other in American Journal of Physicians and Surgeons, showing that the level had indeed declined in three databases that we looked at. One of them is the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Another one was the California State database. And another was in the U.S. Department of Education database. All three of those, incidentally, are available online. Anybody can confirm it. Upon doing that, we were immediately attacked as being, you know, completely out of our minds. It couldn't be going down. And the attack continued until the CDC themselves published two of their studies in MMWR, which is their own journal, that's Mortality Morbidity Weekly, in which they did two surveys, and they showed that exactly as we observed, the autism epidemic went up from 1990, and it began to go down around 2002 to 2004. So they've stopped attacking us that we're right, and now they're saying, well, it went down, we think, but, you know, maybe it went down because of the mercury, but maybe it wasn't the mercury in the vaccines, and maybe it wasn't the vaccines, and maybe it wasn't the Rogam. But in reality, we all know what happened.
Hold that off right there. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, Dr. Stan and this Dr. Mark Geyer is with us, and Dr. Geyer is pointing out that they had written some articles, he and his son, David Geyer, after going through the VAERS database and the CDC database and one other database, pointing out that once the mercury was removed from the childhood vaccines, why the incidence of autism started to fall, and immediately they were attacked until the CDC reports came out. They confirmed what they said, but, of course, nobody wants to admit that they've harmed the children, because think of the implications. Why, if we can't trust the CDC and the NIH and all of these organizations, have they lied to us about vaccines? Have they hurt our children? And, of course, now, you know, to remedy the situation, now they're going to give it to six-month-old children, but even more than that, they're going to give it to pregnant women. They're really pushing, giving these mercury-laden influenza vaccines to pregnant women. Why would you do that when there is no safe level of mercury? So why are they giving it to pregnant women? That just doesn't make sense, Mark.
Doesn't make any sense to me either. The only thing we can figure is that they think their goose is cooked if the autism epidemic continues to decline, and it will continue to decline. The federal government hasn't made it illegal, but there are about eight states now that have made it illegal, and California is one of them. And the California bill comes online July 1st. So, when they made it illegal, they had a deadline. Starting July 1st, they're not going to be able to give thimerosal-containing vaccines in California. And the interesting thing about it is California intends, I've talked to the Attorney General, they intend to enforce that ban. Some of the other states where they've made it illegal, they've actually not enforced it. The state said it's illegal, and they let them continue to use it. But California plans to enforce the ban, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens after July 1st, because I'm sure that the CDC and the FDA will try to say that they have priority over the state law and that the federal government trumps the state law. And I certainly hope that that doesn't happen.
Well, I think that you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's some people out there who aren't concerned about hurting children. And, well, then should we really be surprised? If you listen to our program regularly, you know that this is, there are lots of reason to believe that there are people who look at the world differently than we do. Well, now, certainly this is really sort of an exciting finding that actually with this legislation and taking it out, when do they actually start taking the thimerosal out of the vaccines? Was it in the late 1990s?
Well, in 1999, the American Public Health Service and the American Academy of Pediatrics and the FDA, without any help from us, and in fact we were not even involved in this, announced that they had found that some children were, quote, inadvertently over the safety limits for mercury, and that they were asking the vaccine manufacturers to remove thimerosal, even though they weren't sure that it caused any harm. And in fact, what they should have done is immediately withdrawn thimerosal from all the vaccines. They could have been heroes at that point. Some of the vaccine manufacturers did indeed begin to withdraw the thimerosal slowly. It took some years. They first removed it from the DTAP, that's diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis vaccines. They removed it from some of the Hib, hemophilus influenza B vaccines, and the hepatitis B vaccine. But the one vaccine that they didn't remove it from was influenza. Now, the interesting thing about influenza is you can certainly buy influenza without thimerosal, or with what they call a trace amount. The main supplier of influenza is Adventist Pasteur. And Adventist Pasteur has available thimerosal-reduced or thimerosal-free influenza. They have to, by the way, because their headquarters are in France, and France has banned thimerosal. So the French kids who get influenza vaccine, or the French pregnant women, I don't really think they give it to pregnant women, but those who want it will have thimerosal-free. So the interesting thing is that they make it available to the United States, and we've appeared in a number of states, and we've looked into their data. And it turns out that the U.S. public health officials, you'd think, well, they buy as much of the thimerosal free as possible, and then they're out, and then they have to buy some with thimerosal. Not the case. They don't buy any with thimerosal free. They only buy the one with the thimerosal. I have letters from Adventist Pasteur saying, you know, we're completely out of thimerosal-containing vaccine. We have plenty of thimerosal free. They're actually showing a preference for the one with mercury, for reasons that I don't fully understand and which make no sense and are ridiculous and should be stopped immediately. We should buy thimerosal-free, and a number of states, as I said, require it now, although they don't always enforce the law, and it just makes no sense. And, of course, we're going around the world with our WHO connections, and we're giving thimerosal-containing vaccines of all types to children all over the world, and we're causing them to have damage. There's an epidemic since we started vaccinating in China. This was, incidentally, written on by John F. Kennedy Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's got a radio show and is an environmental attorney, and he's pointed out that wherever we go in the world, we try to have people like us, so we give them aid, and the first thing we do with our aid is we give them vaccines, and our vaccines have thimerosal, and they immediately develop an autism epidemic. This does not endear us to the people of the world.
It just doesn't make sense that anybody would want to hurt children. That just, and they have to know what's going on. The people in these high positions are not stupid.
It's clear to me that they know what's going on. Now, some of the local public health officials don't know what's going on because they don't do the studies, and they rely on four studies that were done by the National Immunization Program of the CDC. There's an interesting thing about the National Immunization Program of the CDC. First thing is, they've all been fired. Second thing is, it doesn't exist anymore. There isn't even anything named that anymore. But many of our local health officials say, well, the CDC proves it's safe. Doesn't it bother you to say it's safe when the people who told you it's safe have all been fired? And if you look up the National Immunization Program, the CDC, you'll find there is no such program anymore. I mean, our government has indeed reacted to congressional pressure, pressure from us, pressure from the parents, to get rid of these people, but it hasn't gotten rid of the flu vaccine with the thimerosal, and it hasn't got a public admission from the companies that made this that they caused the damage. And their day is coming. There are now numerous lawsuits in progress against them, and my view is that they're going to lose the lawsuits.
Well, what about Judy Gerberding, who is the head of the CDC?
Julie Gerberding is the head of the CDC, and she repeatedly gets up in public and before Congress, and she says, there's not one paper that has ever shown that thimerosal has ever caused damage in people, animals, tissue culture, or anywhere else.
Now, that really isn't true at all. There are thousands of articles, aren't there?
It's an outright lie, and anybody can confirm it. Just go online. Your readers can go, or listeners can go online to PubMed, and type in the word thimerosal. You'll get thousands of hits. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, how, now, wait a minute. I thought, isn't her testimony under oath? I mean, isn't that perjury?
That doesn't seem to bother anybody. They seem to think that, in fact, I've run into an attitude that I've never seen before. That, you know, if you catch somebody lying, and there are lots of people that lie for various reasons, usually they're embarrassed about it. If you catch a guy stealing something from your house, you know, he's embarrassed about it. The people in public health seem to somehow think that it's their job to lie. They need to lie to you and I because if they told us the truth, they're afraid that we won't take vaccines, which incidentally is not true. I will continue to use vaccines and so will the parents. But we want to know the truth, and the fact that you think that we're too stupid to know the truth and therefore your job is to lie to us, I find that totally unacceptable. It's so unacceptable that there was a bill recently about 6 months ago in Congress that passed both houses unanimously that actually says the CDC and the FDA are no longer permitted to lie. I didn't think you needed such a bill. I thought everybody told the truth. But as a matter of fact, they continue to lie. The literature is so overwhelming. For example, an interesting one is Eli Lilly started making thimerosal in the early 1930s. They sent the thimerosal to Pittman Moore, which is a company that makes dog vaccines. We have the letter back. We tried it in our dog vaccines, but it was killing the doggies. And it's no good in the vaccine. So they said, not only that, we tried in some human vaccines, and it was no good there. In the 40s and the early 50s, the AMA put together a panel because there were so many adverse effects to thimerosal. The panel studied thimerosal and found that it is far more toxic to human cells than it is to the bacteria that it's supposed to prevent growth, that they recommended that it be removed immediately. But it was never removed. There's been recommendation after recommendation from dermatologists, cell biologists, any group you want in any decade you want, and they just keep on putting it in the vaccines, and they keep pretending that there is no literature on that side. The truth of the matter is there's no literature on the side of its safety. There's been exactly one safety test, and that occurred in 1929 when they gave thimerosal to 20-some people, all of whom died, most of whom died the next day because they had a brain infection, and they said, well, it didn't cure them, but I guess it didn't kill them, so it's safe. And that study was then quoted by Jameson and Powell. And they don't even quote the study. Jameson and Powell says that Smithburn, who did the 1929 trial, told them personally that he thought it was safe. That's the only safety study that's ever been done. And it's not a safety study. And it's ridiculous. And not only that, Eli Lilly at the time was actually using thimerosal in animals. And we have their studies. They were killing animals with the level of thimerosal that was used in that study. There has never been a safety study of thimerosal. It is illegal because the FDA cannot allow the use of a preservative that has never been shown to be safe or effective. It's neither safe nor effective. It doesn't kill the bacteria, and it hurts people. They're totally in violation of their own rules, and they need to stop it immediately.
And, of course, the incredible thing about this is the average doctor has no idea. And the doctors really are not trying to hurt anybody. No doctor I ever met would intentionally want to hurt a child.
I agree with you, and I hope that even the CDC and the FDA didn't want to hurt the children, but what they found was, to them, they aren't children. They're statistics. And every memo that you see discusses, if we tell people, how will this affect our careers? How will it affect CDC? How will it affect FDA? How will it affect American Academy of Pediatrics? I think there's only one memo that from one person that said, how about the children? I mean, the children should be number 1, 2, 3, and 4 when you consider this. They're not even in the top 10 in consideration of what should be done. It's careers, it's money, and this is ridiculous. It's the FDA and CDC's job to protect our children, and then not doing the job.
And, of course, it was the Bush administration that tried to push through with the Patriot Act, I think it was, you know, a special amendment to, I think it was the Patriot Act or one of the other bills.
Homeland Security Act, actually, yeah.
What was it?
Yeah, the Homeland Security
Act. Homeland Security Act, you know, that would exempt Eli Lilly from lawsuits for the thimerosal. Now, what does that have to do with Homeland Security? Nothing at all. They just figured they'd get that thing through, and then, of course, it would be a free pass for Eli Lilly for all the children that they've damaged. They've damaged with a product that has never had a safety. Well, they did have one study, and everybody died. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Dr. Mark Geyer, and this story is really so incredible. Mark, when you tell people about this, I mean, doesn't the average person have difficulty believing this could really be true?
I would have trouble if I didn't live it. I'm not a, you know, out of a mainstream physician, and I would have had trouble if I didn't live it myself. And, you know, what's even more annoying about this is, all right, they're covering up, you know, to protect themselves. But by lying to the local doctors, they are preventing the doctors from treating the kids. And that really makes me angry, because if you're told that it's not mercury poisoning, you don't look. If you look with simple lab tests, you can see that these kids are not psychiatrically, it's not a psychiatric problem. These kids actually have neurological damage. In fact, you know, the real biggest problem is we call these kids autistic. Then later we call them regressive autism. You know, classical autism is present at birth. These kids typically are fine for the first year and a half, and then they go downhill. And so we call them regressive autism. These kids don't have regressive autism. Really what they have is mercury poisoning, and it can be treated. And we've now developed a treatment that we've used on over 60 kids, and we have unbelievable success. And the interesting thing is the local docs are very enamored with our treatment, and a number of them are helping us, as long as we don't say the word vaccine. If we pretend the mercury came in from outer space, they're very good on helping us. If we say that, you know, it might have come in vaccines, they get very upset. I understand why they're upset. I caused autism. When I did my amniocentesis, my practice has done about 40,000 women amniocentesis. About 10% of them are Rh negative. We gave them Rogam. Rogam contains dimerosal. That means that we've given like 4,000 Rogam shots. I'm very upset that I helped contribute to the epidemic, but my reaction is not, you know, I'm going to sit around and pout and pretend it didn't happen. My reaction is, let's tell the truth. I was lied to. The local docs are being lied to. And we can now actually treat the children. And the children, they're not looking at the children. If you look at these children, most of them have signs and symptoms of precocious puberty. And that's what David and I have discovered. We've discovered that the mercury upsets the pathway that has to do with testosterone. And the testosterone pathway interacts with the glutathione pathway, which is the pathway for eliminating mercury. Most of these kids have precocious puberty, and they can be treated. You can look. They have high testosterone. They masturbate at age 6. They have mustaches. They're aggressive. And you can treat them by lowering their testosterone and removing the mercury, and you have unbelievable success. And we've been having that. And a number of doctors now are joining us. But they would join us a lot better if the authorities would actually tell the truth about what happened to the children.
Well, of course, now, how well have these children done? I know I talked to one time before, and I think by that time you only had about 8 or 9 children in the study, but you're up well over 60, and you know, these children, so many of them, they appear to be mentally defective, or either that, or they're certainly very aggressive and almost impossible for the families to handle. What is your overall success rate? Can you have any way of evaluating that?
Yes, virtually every one of the 60 or more children that we've treated have been improved in a very, very big way. And when you hear that kind of story, you say, well, there must be something wrong. It's too good to be true. And the first thing that people think is, well, the side effects of the drug we use, which is called Lupron, is really bad. And it turns out it isn't. The only thing I can say that I'm not sure of is, I don't know how long I have to treat these kids. If I stop treating them, will they go back to the way they were? That I don't know. But the treatment level has been so high, that the success level has been so high, that now some pediatric neurology groups that we presented to have recommended a major double-blind study, which I think is going to be done soon at the university, to demonstrate, by the way, what it almost doesn't need to be demonstrated.
Hold that right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. Mark Geyer. And Mark, of course, does genetic counseling. He's a mainline physician, but he sort of got into this whole issue of autism and mercury and thimerosal. And I think he really got into it, really not believing there was any sort of relationship, but being an honest scientist. And as the figures came out, it became very obvious there was a direct relationship between the autism and the thimerosal shots, and as now we begin to cut back on the amount of mercury in the shots, why, of course, the incidence is beginning to fall. But even more exciting, he's been telling us about the treatment that they have devised. And could you just briefly summarize that once again for our listeners?
Yeah, it turns out that these kids almost all have a low glutathione, which is a substance the body makes to help to get rid of heavy metals, and they've been exposed to mercury. And when they have that condition, they start making their androgens, their testosterone, they get to a point, a branch point, where they're supposed to make most of their, it's called DHEA, into DHEAS. But they can't make DHEAS because they need glutathione to do that step, so they make it almost all into testosterone. And the testosterone further inhibits the glutathione pathway, and so you have a multiplier loop, and these kids end up with signs and symptoms of precocious puberty. And we presented this out in California, and it's become very, very hot, and mostly in California. One of the big autism clinics, a pediatric neurologist was sitting there, and she said, well, yeah, I've seen these kids, they all have signs of precocious puberty. That's because they're autistic. And we said, you know what, why don't you treat the precocious puberty, because it makes the autism virtually disappear. And that's what we've been doing, and we've been having unbelievable success doing it. And others have seen it, and they're just not looking. And once you point it out to them, they go, oh, my God, look, this one has a mustache, and he's 4. This one is masturbating, and he's 3. This one is aggressive. This one has a growth spurt. This one has acne. I have a little girl, and there are some girls. The girls are rarer, but there are some girls, and they have high testosterone. I have a little girl who's between 4 and 5 years old, and she has male pattern baldness. You know, you've seen it, but I have male pattern baldness, but I'm in my 50s. You can see it from across the room. It's just, you know, the center of her hair is bald. That is caused by testosterone. She has high testosterone. I've been treating her now, and her male pattern baldness is going away, and so is her autism. It's amazing. It's amazing that anybody could look at her and not see, even without a lab test, that she has high testosterone.
But, of course, the thing is, sounds so ridiculous. You know, unless you really saw a lot of these children, you wouldn't see the commonality between all of these children having precocious puberty, or in this instance with a little girl, of course, having the masculinizing, influence in her. And, of course, you know, this will just upset her whole life. And, of course, if you can begin to reverse this, and now, do you do anything at all to try to get rid of the mercury? If you treat them with this drug that actually decreases the testosterone, but what about the mercury?
Yes, the drug we use is Lupron, which is the standard mainline medicine treatment for precocious puberty, and then we chelate them. We give them a mainline FDA-approved drug called DMSA or Chemet, which is FDA-approved to remove mercury. And the combination of lowering the testosterone and removing the mercury makes these kids so much better. We typically don't tell the schools that we get calls from the schools, what did you do to our kid? I mean, it's not the same child. And the parents say it's not the same child. And it's so obvious. It's not that they get a little better. They get a whole lot better. And the question is, can you eventually remove enough mercury that you don't have to keep giving them Lupron? And the answer to that is, we've only been doing this less than 2 years. I don't know the long term, but I can tell you on the short term that we have kids that, a lot of these kids are so severe, you know, they don't say a word, they attack everybody, they break their mother's arm. These are really, really aggressive kids, and it shouldn't surprise anybody, by the way, even if you don't understand the biochemistry that we've developed, that if you take people that are very, very aggressive and you lower their testosterone, they're going to be better. But it doesn't just take away the aggression. It makes their attention better, their socialization better, their learning better. They look you in the eye. They can hug you. I never dreamt that I would discover what the CDC has been hiding. I never dreamt that I would have a therapy that would have this kind of efficacy.
Well, of course, now lowering the testosterone level make it easier then to chelate, in other words, to get the mercury out. In other words, people have been trying to chelate for a long time, and you know, that it's had some good results and some not. Has this really sort of transformed the whole chelation picture?
This makes it much better for a number of reasons. One is, almost all of these kids have, in addition to precocious puberty, they have GI problems. And we now know why. It turns out the same enzyme that is blocked in the testosterone pathway is the enzyme that puts the sulfur on your bile salts. And so these kids have a problem in the GI tract, and they can't take the chelation. If you correct the problem, then you can do the chelation, and the chelation works much, much better with lowering the testosterone than it does without.
Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Mark Geyer. And I know I had a call one time after doing a Saturday program here from a woman who had two autistic children. One was, I think, 11, and the other was 9 at the time. And it just totally destroyed her life, as well as, of course, the lives of the children. And, of course, if there is a treatment, and this really is so exciting, why, certainly, we've got to get the information out across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Mark Geyer, and he and his son have been working together, of course, trying to, first of all, ascertain, you know, scientifically that there's a relationship between the thimerosal and autism, and now, of course, with the treatment becoming available, you know, where they can actually chelate these children and, by decreasing their testosterone levels, be able to chelate them much more efficiently. And, of course, now, many of these children are having a total reversal of this terrible, terrible disease. Have you been in touch with Dr. Rimland at the Autism Foundation?
Yes. He helped us, actually, with looking at the California data. He was one of the people that early on looked at the data. California is a very important state in the history of autism. They were one of the very first states to realize there was an epidemic. The state actually funded a study to see whether the epidemic was real or due to differential diagnosis or people moving into the state, and determined that it was real. And their database also now has been very useful in determining that the level is coming down. And despite the fact that at first we were attacked from California, there's a new paper coming out of California that now agrees with us. So there are numerous papers now that agree that it's coming down, and at least it's mercury. They go, well, is it vaccine mercury? Is it fish mercury? Is it air mercury? And the answer to that is it's all of those. But the thing that caused the epidemic, and people misquote me, they think I said that all the autism was caused by the mercury in the vaccine. What I said is the epidemic was caused. That is, there was a background of mercury from breathing, from eating fish, from having amalgams in your teeth, but suddenly something changed and the level went up. What changed was the vaccines. If you took away the others, maybe, you know, they could tolerate the vaccines, but what caused the epidemic was the thimerosal in the vaccines and in the Rogam. And it's easy to correct that. It's very hard to correct the fish and the air. I mean, we should do that too, but it's going to take a long time. So California and Bernie Rimland have been very, very useful and helpful in this. And of course, they also were the second state in the country to ban thimerosal. And as I said, their ban is very powerful, and it comes into effect the end of this month.
Well, now, of course, are you going to be publishing some papers on your treatment for the autism?
Yes, we've published a medical hypothesis on the theory of it, and now we have several papers that have been accepted. And we're going to publish a whole series of papers, because every child that we look at, we do a complete medical workup. One of the reasons we're so successful in treating the autistics is we know what we're treating. Before we put anybody on this treatment, we make sure they really have mercury poisoning or regressive autism. So, for example, we do chromosomes. If they have Fragile X, well, then they're not for this treatment. If they have Rett syndrome, they're not for this treatment. So we actually have worked up about 150 kids now with a complete genetic workup.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Mark Geyer. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Dr. Mark Geyer, and we're simply talking about, you know, their papers. They've written a couple of papers that will be published before long on their treatment for autism. And he was simply saying that they have an advantage because they work up all the patients. They don't just simply put them on the treatment. They make sure that they don't have one of the other syndromes that can present as autism. That they're certainly that their autism is directly related to mercury toxicity. And of course, as Dr. Geyer points out, you have many sources of mercury. You have your fish. You have mercury in the air. You have mercury in your teeth and your amalgam. And certainly that's constantly venting out. But of course, Dr. Geyer's point was well made, that it was only when they started giving the vaccines, with so many of the vaccines with so much mercury in it, that we really got, of course, this marked increase in autism. And so the epidemic of autism was related to the mercury in the vaccines. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, I think that you have it exactly correct.
Well, all right, of course, out across America, how many children do you think we have with autism in America today? Do we have any idea?
The estimates are as high as, the CDC says that they thought 1 in 166 children were affected. I think that probably at the peak, and the peak was between, say, 1999 and 2001, somewhere in that range, for diagnosis, I think we may have gotten as high as 1 in 30 to 1 in 40 children in the United States. There may be between 1 and 2 million autistics, and almost all of them are young, because, you know, those who say, well, we've always had autism, we just made a differential diagnosis now, we'd like to see their 60-year-old autistics and their 50-year-old autistics. Where are they hiding them? That's called the hidden hoard. There are only handfuls of autistics before. So almost all the autistics are young. And, of course, They'll fool you if you're not careful by saying, well, the number of autistics continues to go up, even though we took it out of the vaccine. Sure it does, because the ones who have it don't die. But what we're saying is the rate of new cases has gone down. Not the total rate, but the rate of new cases. And it's because they've taken it out of the vaccines and out of the Rogam.
And, of course, but the fact that they're putting it in now into the vaccines that they're giving to pregnant women, knowing full well how toxic it is just totally unjustifiable. Maybe they don't want to be embarrassed. Maybe they think that they might, of course, hurt their careers. But what about the children?
They don't see them as children. The people at the CDC, the National Immunization Program that has been disbanded, I've met a number of these people. They came and testified and talked, and we showed them autistics, and you know, they've never seen an autistic child. They don't even know what it means. It's an amazing thing. I testified in Maryland, had a state hearing to try to ban Maryland. It actually passed the Senate unanimously, was blocked in the House. And they sent Dr. Roger Bernier, who's their science director of the CDC's National Immunization Program, and there was this little kid that was running around, you know, yelling and screaming, and he actually said, get that kid under control. You know, can't you control your kid? And the mother picked him up and put him right in his face and said, this is what you did. This is an autistic. You've never even seen an autistic. You don't even know what it means. Those kids run around like the Eveready Bunny. You can't control those kids. He'd never, in his life, with all his, oh, we didn't cause any autism, he'd never even seen an autistic child. And these kids are not the Rain Man. These kids are extremely aggressive. And there's another interesting phenomenon that's occurring in this country. There's a small group now on the web that's attacking us and others who are treating them called neurodiversity. They think autism is a good thing. Well, maybe it's a good thing if they think that, you know, Einstein had autism. He didn't have autism. I mean, he might have been a little eccentric. If they saw these kids, no one can look at these kids and say these kids are okay, they shouldn't be treated. No human can look at them. They bang their heads against the wall. They don't talk. They bite their mothers. No one can think that this is a normal thing. This is not Einstein was a little eccentric. This is full-blown autism, and it's intolerable, and everybody thinks that they should be treated. And as you said, it not only destroys the kids' lives, it destroys the family, it destroys the siblings, it destroys the neighborhood, it destroys the educational system. And if we're not careful, it's going to destroy the United States, because it's going to be hard for us to be the number one nation in the world. What do we produce? What makes us number one? Is it our oil? Is it our nuclear energy? Is it our science? You know what it is? It's our brains. And if we have 1 in 6 children, even using their figure, that have brain damage, and we end up, there's 300 million Americans, and we end up with 1 in 6 of them having brain damage, that's 50 million Americans, we're not going to be the number one country in the world anymore. And that I have great fear for that. I love this country, and we've got to not let that happen.
Well, I certainly share your concern, and I think it's so vitally important that this information be gotten out far and wide. And, you know, are you getting to the doctor? See, this is the big thing. The average doctor out there really has very little idea about this. And you talk to them, and their eyes glaze over, and they say it couldn't be true after all, you know. If it were true, why, we'd know all about it. We'd read about it in our journals. We'd hear about it at our meetings. And for some reason, they're not reading about it in the journals. They're not hearing it in the meetings. Of course, I've read your articles, and you know, in the journal of the put out by the American Academy, pardon me, the American Associations of Physicians and Surgeons. But this is something that should be in every medical journal.
The American Academy of Pediatrics journal is pediatrics. Pediatrics is not tremendously widely read as far as a scientific journal, but it's read by virtually every pediatrician, and they will not allow even an answer to an article. They had an article that talked about our work, and we wrote a polite letter saying that, well, you misquoted it. We didn't even do the study in the database you thought we did. And the authors wrote back and said, yes, we've made a mistake. And the journal would not even produce the letter. They are so political that they will not let their doctors see the other side. So it's produced all over the place. And as you mentioned, you know, it's in the press. It's been in, you know, it's been on IMUS in the morning. It's been on Cheryl Atkins nationwide. It's been on 7 on your side, but in the overall press, obviously the CDC gets more press than we could ever possibly get. They can pick up the phone and they can be on the front page, you know, in 10 seconds. But it has gotten, you know, it's gotten to the point where there's a lot of people that know about this. For example, next week there's going to be a rally of moms at the CDC in Atlanta. And this time the rally of moms are a little bit more upset. Instead of saying stop lying about our children, they're going to wear T-shirts that say, you did the crime, it's time to do the time. They want them in jail.
Well, I think that they ought to be, and I think that Julie Gerberding, I've followed her career for many years since she was involved in the AIDS epidemic back in the early 80s, and And I think that she is, you know, was involved there and did not do what was right, and she certainly is not doing what's right today as far as the epidemic is concerned. The epidemic of autism, we've already lost 500,000 people from AIDS totally unnecessarily, thanks in part to the physicians that Judy Gibberding was supporting during the 1980s, you know, and now, of course, back at the CDC, she's perpetuating what I believe is a crime against children. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Mark Geyer, why, please give us a call. You know, I've talked to some of the physicians who treat these children, and it's interesting how often these are physicians who had an autistic child themselves and had their lives destroyed. And yet, of course, many times when they were trying to treat the autistic children in the community, they were attacked and belittled by their medical associations, by the other doctors.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And the mainline treatment is they put them on SSRIs. They put them on these mainline dope to try to control their behavior. And those things that just make your life terrible. I mean, it's clear that many of them carry now black box warnings. They cause liver damage, they cause brain damage, they cause suicide. I mean, putting a kid, you know, that's aggressive on dope, so he can't, you know, he's so doped up he can't do anything. By the way, it's hard to dope these kids up. They're so aggressive, it's hard to do it. It's not the right treatment, and it's to just pretend that they're, you know, it's a psychiatric illness, send them to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not because they hate their mothers. It's because they have a biochemical defect, which anybody can send to. You don't even need an esoteric lab. We've done our whole studies intentionally in LabCorp, which is the mainline lab that almost every physician in the country uses. And some of them refused to simply draw a blood test to prove what they could see if they did. They said, oh, nothing wrong with these kids. It's just psychiatric.
And what blood test would you actually take, Mark?
One of the most interesting one now actually is a urine test called porphyrin. This was just published by the French, that there's a type of porphyrin, which is a breakdown of red cells, which is inhibited by mercury. And you can see how much the body burden of mercury is. Guess what they found? I mean, no matter how you look at this issue, they always find the same thing. Autistics have a very high level body burden of mercury. Gee whiz, that's a new discovery. But that's one thing you can look at. Another is you can look at their testosterone levels. Because another is you can look at their glutathione levels. Almost every one of them is off the chart low on glutathione. Most of them will be off the chart high on testosterone. And the interesting thing is, if you look at their FSH level, which is what's supposed to control testosterone, it's not high, it's low. They don't have high testosterone because their pituitary makes too much FSH. They have high testosterone because they can't make the storage product that I told you about that's inhibited by mercury. And the pediatric endocrinologist looked at this and they said, my God, they got high testosterone and they don't have high FSH. They must have a tumor. Well, we've looked really high and low. None of these kids have tumors. They have the biochemical defect that I told you that they do. And, you know, that you hear these explanations. This is a genetic epidemic. I'm a board-certified geneticist with a PhD in genetics as well as my MD. Can you believe that anybody would say that it's a genetic epidemic? It can't be a genetic epidemic. An epidemic means the rapid rise in human disease, and the fastest change in genetics is 1% per 100 years. Most of the time it's slower than that. They do have a genetic component, by the way. If you look at these kids and you look at their MTHFR, which is one of the genes that helps make glutathione, over 90% of them have a SNP, a change in the MTHFR gene. So there are genetics in this. What it is the people who were susceptible to mercury, who got mercury, are the ones that were damaged. But without the mercury, they would not have been damaged. It can't be a genetic epidemic. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, let's go to Ruth Ann, who's calling us from Pennsylvania. Hi, Ruth Ann. How are you doing?
Hello. I wanted to talk to the doctor. I think he's leaving one bit out here. I'm really experienced with Lupron. I certainly don't have your medical background, but I've been using that for years in ferrets because they get adrenal disease. So that's a drug I'm very familiar with, and that has some pretty serious side effects, both psychologically, emotionally, and physically. And those side effects are irreversible.
I'm sorry. Which disease did you say we're treating? I didn't hear.
It's adrenal disease. It's common in ferrets. The hormones start raging, and you have to use a hormone suppressor on them. There's many hormone suppressors they use, but the most common one is Lupron. there's now a new one out of Australia that's called Desflurellin. It's an implant.
Now, of course, it has permanent effect on ferrets. What about human beings?
Yeah, well, it does because I've read a lot about it because I've had ferrets for so many years, and of course it does on humans. And I have one female friend that had to go on that as an adult for 6 months. It just wiped her out.
All right, well, let's get Dr. How would you respond to Ruth?
I'm glad you asked that question. I hear this all the time. Lupron is used in adults on males on prostate cancer and benign prostatic hypertrophy. It's used in females on severe cases of endometriosis and also on cystic ovarian disease. In both adult males and adult females, there are tremendous side effects. And the side effects are not side effects. They are you lose your estrogen and you lose your testosterone. It has been tested for many, many years on young children, and because they don't need testosterone or estrogen, it has virtually no side effects, and you can look it up in the PDR, Physician's Desk Reference. It has been tested at 250 times the usual dose on children for years with no side effects. And let me tell you why it has no side effects on these children. Lupron is actually a very complex biomolecule, and it is actually a natural molecule. In the way we control our hormones is the hypothalamus has releasing substances, and Lupron is exactly the natural one, except they added one carbon on the end to make it stick more. So it binds there and actually turns it off, but it's 99% natural. And sure, if you give an adult woman Lupron and you turn off her estrogen, she'll have menopausal symptoms and she'll have bone demineralization. By the way, that's not a good doctor, and you should replace her estrogen hormones. If you give it to an adult male of my age, I'm going to lose my sex drive, I'm going to lose, you know, my beard. But if you give it to children whose normal level of testosterone is zero, and you lower these kids to zero, there are virtually no side effects. And if you talk about side effects, I mean, I don't think any drug is completely side effect-free, but mainline medicine is treating these kids with Abilify, Paxil, things that have side effects that, by the way, they're not approved for that use. The way we're using Lupron, it is approved. And in fact, every HMO pays for it because these kids have precocious puberty.
And of course, these children, then there have been extensive studies in children that show it's safe.
That's right. And then of course, there's this underlying thing. The underlying thought of that is that, well, it's kind of a minor disorder, and we don't want to risk any side effects. I don't want to harm any child. But this is not a minor disorder. This is desperation time. Even if there were some side effects, if you got a kid there that's going to an institution and is beating his head against the wall and breaking his mother's arms, even if there were side effects, one would take the risk because this is not like some people are thinking. Well, kids kind of, you know, a little bit different. These kids aren't a little different. They don't have a single word. 60% of them never say a word. They hit people. There's room for side effects, but actually among the drugs that can be used, they are by far the safest. They're certainly safer than chelation. And they're certainly safer than Ritalin or Strattera or any of the SSRIs that are currently being used. And incidentally, the funny thing is, those things, that many of the SSRIs, Abilify and Paxil, are not approved for use in children. The Lupron, the way we're using it, is exactly the way it's approved. That is, if you demonstrate that a child has precocious puberty, the treatment under mainline medicine has been for 20-some years, is Lupron. Now, the only difference is that we get a side effect. The side effect is they not only lose their precocious puberty, they lose a good deal of their autism. But I don't think there's any rule about getting a good side effect. Also, when we demonstrate mercury toxicity and we use Chemex or DMSA, that's the FDA approved. There are people that are using all kinds of crazy things for chelation. That's the FDA approved treatment for mercury.
Okay,
so
fine.
Well, exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay, let's go to Mark. Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Mike, are you there?
I had a question for Dr. Geyer. Back to the discussion about the thimerosal ban in California. That would sound very nice, but I find myself very suspicious. One reason is we have had a parallel situation like this MTBE and the EPA, which has required for some 10 years now that the MTBE be used as a gas additive, thereby polluting the environment thoroughly. And now, with the thimerosal, even if they ban it, it seems, if they allow a ban to go through, maybe they have decided that they've done the damage they intended to do, and they'll move on to something else.
Well, there was tremendous, Mike, there was a tremendous amount of opposition to this legislation here in California. Fortunately, the very liberal component of our state legislature voted for it, and to Arnold Schwarzenegger's credit, he was under tremendous pressure, but he still signed the legislation. So, you know, I think that, believe me, they didn't want this to go through, did they, Mark?
No, and in fact, they have an illegal organization. They're using CDC funds, which is specifically forbidden to oppose bans in other states. And they have a website, and they're putting money into it. By the way, there's a federal rule that you can't use federal money to go to lobby states. But they don't want the California ban. And in fact, when it's enforced, I'm almost certain that they're going to go to court and try to overturn the ban by saying that the federal law preempts the state law. So they're not intentionally letting this ban go. They don't want to see this, because if this happens, we'll start seeing a drop in California. Now, when I said we saw a drop in California before, that was not because California had less thimerosals. It was just a place that they had a database. But we're going to start seeing, if they enforce this, that certain states are going to have less autism than others, and that's going to make them look really bad. So they're very unhappy about it. Now, a number of states that had bans, when their bans came into effect, their local health departments declared national emergencies, and the bans often have a thing that you can get around it. So, for example, in Illinois, it's already been banned, but they're still giving thimerosal-containing tetanus shots because there's an epidemic of tetanus. You know when the last case of tetanus was in Illinois? 20 years ago. That's an abuse of the law. But I understand in California, that from talking to the Attorney General, he's not going to let that happen in California. He's going to ban it, and if they try to use it, he's going to go and arrest them.
Well,
they're going to have to take them to federal court to try to see if they can overturn it.
Well, thanks very much, Mike, okay. And let's go to Mark calling from Las Vegas. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing fine.
I've listened to both Dr. Geyer's, the brothers.
Their father and son.
Oh, father and son, excuse me. I've listened to both of these gentlemen, and I certainly welcome, as somebody who's injured by the anthrax vaccine, I certainly welcome the work they've done. But if I could for a moment inject economics into this, because I believe that there's an economic law that can explain the problem that we're facing here. You look at the government, the reason why problems tend to inherit with the government is because the government does not have to earn its income. It can sustain itself without having to satisfy consumer demands. And so problems are going to inherit with an operation that's ran like that. And likewise, when the government endows a certain industry with protections and subsidies, for example, compulsory vaccination laws, no longer do they need to provide a clean vaccine. Now, I understand that Dr. Geyer here says that he's pro-vaccine, but he's pro-clean vaccine. I would suggest that we can go a long ways to get the vaccines clean if we were to repeal compulsory vaccination laws, which, as far as I understand, Dr. Geyer is not for.
We don't really want to get into a long dissertation on compulsory.
I am for choice in vaccines. I believe that if they're good vaccines, people will have choice. But let me tell you something about what you're. I said the same thing you just did in when I visited the California State Attorney General, and he pointed out that they're actually not so compulsory. Every state in the country has a medical exemption. 49 of the 50 states have a religious exemption, Mississippi being the exception. And almost half the states have a philosophical objection, including California. And what he showed me was the form where it says you have to sign here to be vaccinated. If you flip it over in the back, you can sign there that you don't want to be vaccinated. Of course, they never show you the back. But so my point is that there is pressure. There actually isn't a federal law. The only way they enforce vaccines is that many of the local school systems in many of the states will not let you go to school unless you either are vaccinated or you sign the waiver.
Hold that thought. We'll be right there. Well, we're out of time. I really appreciate so much your being with us. Our guest has been Dr. Mark Geyer. Do you have a web page or any place that you'd like to let people know that they could get in touch with your information?
I can be reached at mgeyer, M-G-E-I-E-R, at comcast.net.
That's
if they want to read about general issues on this, a good place to start is nomercury.org. It's not mine, but it's a website that attaches a whole lot of the data that we're talking about.
All right, God bless, and thanks so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. And these really are exciting times. But, you know, the one question is, why are these things going on? Well, if you'd like to know why they're going on, you need to get my talk on plant population reduction. It's either a DVD or a video, planned population reduction. I think you'll be fascinated by the information we've come up with, the documentation we've come up with. And ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this, but there really are people who want to hurt children. And if you doubt that, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. So, planned population reduction, the DVD or the video. The information, the Brotherhood of Darkness, the book, the video, the four tapes, pardon me, there's a Brotherhood of Darkness special with the tape, the video, and the book. I would also suggest the material on water fluoridation. They're poisoning the people all over California intentionally. You need to get the syllabus, Hidden Agenda, and the video, Hidden Agenda, and the history of water fluoride, Hidden Agenda, we call it the fluoride deception. Before we called it the history of water fluoridation, but it will give you an excellent overview of water fluoridation. You need to get the book, The Fluoride Deception. We have a DVD on this same subject. We have four tape sets. They're poisoning the people. Why would anybody do that? Well, first of all, it lowers fertility, and then, of course, it has a profound impact on the mind. It makes people very docile. They go right along with what they're told to do. That's why Hitler used water fluoridation in the occupied countries. That's why the Russians occupied fluoridated Eastern Europe, but not Russia. The only part of Russia they fluoridated was the Gulag, to keep the people in line. They know exactly what they're doing. I mean, fluoride softens the bones, increases the incidence of cancer, and certainly it disrupts the endocrine system, doubles the incidence of heart disease. We have all the documentation on it. And we'd be glad to get it to you. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go up on our webpage and pull down my articles on water fluoridation. Or go to the website put up by the lawyers and the scientists and the engineers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency, NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org. Pull down their website. Get the whole thing down. Read it through. Copy it. Take it to your lawyer, to your doctor, and say, why are you advocating something that's poisoning us? Look what the people who work for the EPA are trying to get out. They're trying to tell us that our government's poisoning us. And you're not going to hear this most places. Check out the facts. Go to our webpage at RadioLiberty.com, call us at 1-800-544-8927. We have four tape sets on mercury. We have four tape sets on autism, heart-rending stories of physicians who have children who are autistic, and then they've given up everything not only to help their own children, to help other children, and they're constantly attacked. As Dr. Geyer is being, because he's trying to help the children. And there really are people like Judy Gerberding and others at the CDC who know exactly what they're doing, and they are evil. I've been to the CDC. I met many of these people when I was back there, and of course, not the same people. I'm sure those people have gone on, probably been richly rewarded, working for the drug companies or working elsewhere now. Very prosperous after doing all the harm. We've lost 500,000 people from AIDS. In an unnecessary epidemic. And if you haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, where I talk about my trip to the CDC, it's available through Radio Liberty. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. We're up against organized evil. We're in a battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization.